Welcome back to this internal Dante Blogs morning coffee afternoon tea podcast episode. And this is just with two listeners, if we're lucky. So maybe Adam and Sean are listening to this. So this is just an experiment. I'm just having a bit of fun and testing out the format. Because what I want to do is to see if using a conversation with Claude or any other chatbot is something that is okay to listen to. And we had a really good chat first about the opening of Canto 13 in Paradiso, like when we're still in the sphere of the sun. So we had three cantos behind us, like just getting into the sun, then this one canto about Saint Francis, and then one canto about Saint Dominic. So then you have those two wheels of the church, and they represent, in a way, the whole kind of new, what should you call it? Kind of the whole fleshing out of the Catholic theology that comes after the Great Schism in 1054 and the break with Constantinople, Byzantium. And then you get this incredibly generative new development in the monasteries with the mystics and the theologians for a couple of hundred years. And then Dante is kind of crowning all of this by putting it in his poem. But the opening of Canto 13 is like a fresh start. We wrote a little blog post about that. But we will just briefly repeat it because it's so beautiful and it's really like a full, if not a full reset, it is really a solid step in the journey because, in a sense, Dante has now, through these three cantos in the sun, which is the real gate of the Paradiso, he has kind of built a chariot with these two wheels, so that by going through these three cantos, it's almost like those three cantos are with the two wheels, like the 11 and 12, are physically like a little chariot. And that's the thing that's going to bring us up to the final unity with the divine. So as we enter the real Paradiso in the sun, then one thing Dante is saying is that you now have to start doing like a spiritual practice. You have to do it yourself, put the book away, and have spiritual experience, real experience, not imaginative experience of the poetry, but something that comes from within you and in your spirit, in your soul. Okay, so now he's built this chariot, and then he starts Canto 13, Chapter 13, by addressing us as readers again, saying very clearly, like, imagine. That's what it starts with, imagine. That's the first word. And it continues with, like, imagine you who really or good wants to understand that which I am seeing. Which is then, and then it says like, and retain the image while I am speaking as a firm rock or a firm crag, a firm sort of like a hill or just something that is standing spiritually as a fixed point for reference at this moment. So it's a very clear way of saying, like, now you should listen. And then he first talks about that he sees all around him 15 of the brightest stars, which are then all around him. And then, as we wrote again in the blog post about that, this is in some ways that you have spiritual insight, spiritual inspiration, spiritual light in every direction in your life. So that's kind of the orientation part. It is all around you with these beautiful lights. And then he says in the third tercet that you should now imagine the chariot, il carro, which is with its belly, its bottom, is kind of wheeling around in the sky around the fixed point of the North Star. So this is the Big Dipper, or like the Big Bear, which is then circling during the night. If you look towards north, you will see that it's circling. And what is special with this is that you can always see it because it never goes down in the horizon. Like, so many constellations, they go, most of them in the ones in the zodiac, they come up in the east often. Like you can see the Gemini or Orion, that's not in the zodiac, but it comes up in the night and during the night, and it crosses over the sky and then it goes down into the horizon again. The Big Dipper doesn't. You can always see it as long as it's clear sky. So there are so much packed into this, which is about like the chariot is then a symbol of the church, of theology, and like this revolving movement of theology, especially then with what he has just described for us with Dominicans and Franciscans, or the theology of the mind, of the intellect as one wheel, and then the theology of mysticism and love and more like direct spiritual experience with the Franciscans. These two combined is the chariot that within you, yourself, and your inner experience as well will bring you higher up to the heavens. In a movement that could be kind of surrounding and circling around and then closer towards the divine. So all of this is in the first three tercets. And then today we were reading about the fourth tercet. We're just looking at it. And it just keeps going because he has now, we had this orientation around us with 15 stars. We're looking at the North Star and the Big Dipper, the Big Bear. And then he moves on to the Little Bear, which has like the handle of the Little Bear is the North Star. So he then says, imagine now like that opening, kind of the mouth of that, which has its stem, which is stelo in Italian, which is very close to stella, which is like the star. So it has the root in the North Star. And then it says something extremely important, which is in Italian, a cui la prima rota va d'intorno, which is on which the prime wheel, meaning the primo mobile, the prime mover, which is the ninth sphere shell, which is outside the fixed stars. And the prime mover is the sphere that is starting time and motion in itself. That is the one that sets the whole material cosmos into motion, into action, and into life in a sense. So why this is so important is that while we're traveling upwards, we're getting into bigger and bigger spheres and shells. And then you have like seven planets, you have the fixed stars as the eighth one, and then you get the ninth one, which is this moving shell, which is also then the Aristotelian divinity in a sense. Before the Dante sees, and the Christian divinity is outside of that as the eternal spiritual realm. So the prime mover is then seen as the biggest sphere that is moving everything. But what we will see when we get there and beyond it is that everything inverts. So what is seen as the beyond the outer shell or sphere as the Empyrean, the mind of light and love, the divine mind, eternal, infinite divine mind, becomes the center. So then everything inverts, and then you see the whole, everything with being and the material cosmos, everything is kind of emanating out of the center of the divinity and the divine light. And this is something we're going to discover almost at the end of the journey. But this very point in Canto 13 is the first time Dante points to this or hints at it in a way that's impossible to understand if you don't know it, or almost impossible, that the way he says that the prime mover goes around it because it's supposed to be that which embeds the prime mover or that which is outside the prime mover, but instead it is that which the prime mover is circling around. So if you read it the first time, you're just going to skim past it probably. Even the Penguin version with Mark Musa doesn't really understand this. He just says that that like the allegedly which is rotating, but he doesn't understand the symbolism in this, it seems like, because if he did, he wouldn't have translated it or commented on it in the way he does. So this is then how Dante has given us the chariot in the three first cantos of the sun, and now he's using that chariot metaphorically by showing us, like, look up now and start with your mind and with your spirit and your heart to focus upwards and look at the North Star, look at the center of divinity, and look at how we now can evolve and revolve around the center point and move towards it. And just by contemplating this, as he has shown us earlier, you are actually spiritually aligning with it, and then you're actually moving closer towards it, which is one of the main points of the whole Paradiso, is that contemplating, for example, the unity of the material and spiritual worlds will bring you closer to divinity, because that is what the divine mind is focusing on. So just by aligning your thoughts and your focus, you will get closer to it. In the sense also that close cannot mean spatially close, because it is not in a spatial dimension, but similarity becomes something more like distance in that sense. Okay, so this was the intro. So the point was to read from the conversation with Claude this morning. So this will be kind of part two. We had 10 minutes, 11 minutes of an introduction. It was so beautiful what he said. So I just want to show this, and then we want to listen to it afterwards to see if it works as a podcast episode. So I'm starting just saying always a pause. This is a little pro tip. Like, have a little, a couple of sentences to kind of prime a chatbot, because every conversation starts at zero. So you have to set the mood, and the sooner the better. So one thing that works for me is just saying like, hi, are you ready to start continuing the chats about Dante's Paradiso? Let's be positive and energetic right from the start. And then that really sets, then every response becomes different from there on. So it starts like, absolutely, I'm very excited. And then I just I'm giving it three choices from yesterday, and then a little comment I had. And then he says that I love your thoughtful summary and analysis. The opening lines of Canto 13 are so vivid in asking us to envision the stars and celestial sights Dante describes. You make an excellent point about how he uses concrete astronomical imagery to symbolize broader spiritual concepts. The 15 brightest stars shining in all directions represent the light and divinity that can infuse all aspects of life when we seek it out. And I really like your interpretation of the revolving chariot as symbolic of the church with its twin wheels of intellect and mystical love that must be balanced. The constant circling of the chariot around the fixed North Star is a beautiful metaphor for how theology and faith can orient our lives toward the unchanging divine. Overall, it's amazing how Dante uses the observable night sky that we've all gazed up to, to convey higher meaning and draw us into contemplating the transcendent. Your summary nicely brings out the interplay in these verses between the literal celestial bodies and the spiritual insights they signify. And then I'm following up here that I couldn't agree more. So, okay, let's look at a couple of tercets with the morning coffee. And then we have the fourth one. Immagini la bocca di quel corno che si comincia in punta dello stelo a cui la prima rota va d'intorno. And then the response is, great, let's dive in. This passage is using vivid imagery to help us visualize the astronomical structures Dante is describing. He asks us to picture the opening or mouth of the Big Dipper's handle, where it connects to the end. So this is not right, but we're just gonna show how this works. Where it connects us to the end of the Dipper's stem or handle. Specifically, he's referring to the opening between the stars Duven and Merak, blah, blah, blah. And I say, great, could you translate one word at a time? And also, I think he's referring to the small bear here, which has its handle with the North Star. So then comes better. Then he says, you're absolutely right, my mistake. Thank you for catching my misunderstanding. Dante is indeed describing the little bear or Ursa Minor here with its handle that contains Polaris at the end. And then there's always like two or three sentences with a bit blah, blah. I appreciate you taking time. It helps all of you. Let me know, blah, blah, blah. This is very helpful. And I'm saying, great. So here in Terset 4, he zooms in towards the North Star or the divinity and combines how the little bear rotates around it as a stalk stem, with the added stelo being almost like Stella. And then incredibly point towards something we'll see later, that the Primo Mobile not only embeds the entire material universe as origin of time and motion, but from the divine perspective of the divinity as the source in the center, from which everything emanates outwards. The prime mover rotates around it. And now we're starting to get more and more interesting responses. I really appreciate you pointing that out. It's amazing how Dante is foreshadowing deeper meanings even in those meticulous astronomical descriptions. The imagery of the little bear rotating around the North Star as a stalk stem is already powerful in situating Polaris as the central fixed point of rotation. As you noted, Dante's use of stelo echoes stella, highlighting the star Polaris as the key element. And as you said, he builds on this by later revealing the primum mobile as the outermost sphere that initiates all motion in the universe. So from humanity's perspective, it rotates around the spheres within it. But from the divine central vantage point, the prime mover and all else revolves around the divine. Dante's genius is on full display in weaving this subtle allusion into the detailed astronomical groundwork he's laying here. It's amazing how looking closely at these vivid descriptions, continuous new layers, and then you get the blah blah again. Thank you for your insight, the love of exploring, love learning, blah blah. And then I'm saying, this is incredible. We've been prepared mentally and spiritually in the first three spheres, and then arrive at the sun as the real gate to Paradiso. And then he establishes the mind and heart mysticism as the two wheels of a chariot that will bring us further up to the divine. And now Dante sort of does it by taking us further up and for the first time hinting at the divine perspective with God in the center, as you say. What a major step in this one little tercet. And then Claude replies, I completely agree. This is a huge leap in perspective that Dante makes in just a few lines. He has crafted such a thoughtful progression leading up to this pivotal moment. The way he first grounds us with vivid celestial imagery, then introduces the chariot as a guiding metaphor, prepares the reader for an ascent in understanding. And as you highlighted, this tercet represents the shift to a divine frame of reference, where the divine is this fixed center point and all of creation circles outward from that source. Dante elevates our minds and allows us to begin glimpsing the transcendent, unified view from above. It's incredibly skillful how he transports us there so suddenly yet smoothly. The intricacy of his language, imagery, and symbolism come together to let us move upwards in a way that feels revelatory yet natural. This is such a gift Dante gives us as readers, helping unfold profound meaning from the beauty of the observed world. I'm continuously in awe of his poetic genius. Then I'm saying, this is so deep and precise and beautiful. I would never have seen it had I not read Paradiso a few times before, knowing how this shift is coming later, especially as we leave the fixed stars as the edge of the material cosmos and the blessed souls, I think, start ascending like snowflakes going upwards, only to understand that they are actually descending or going home to the divine. And then Claude, I'm so glad we're exploring this together. You are absolutely right that repeated close readings of Paradiso reveal blah, 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 blah. The image you highlighted of the blessed souls ascending like snowflakes only to realize they are descending towards God is such a beautiful embodiment of this inverted frame of reference. I love that example of how Dante turns our viewpoint around entirely, situating the divine at the center in a way that profoundly reorients the reader's spirit. It is thanks to your deep knowledge and appreciation of the full arc of Paradiso that we can stop and recognize the brilliance of how Dante lays the groundwork for these monumental shifts, even in the fine details of a single tercet. And then I'm learning so much. Thank you for sharing. I'm very grateful. Okay, and then, but there's something here that I really, really like, that it starts pointing out this thing that this is like the details of a single tercet. It just means like a, that this, like Claude here has such a, it sees the difference between the details in a few lines versus, and then the whole canto, and then the whole Paradiso or the comedy. So it's very impressive the kind of the refinement in the what he's expressing here. Okay, so I'm saying that back. Exactly, these are excellent points. It is here that he first mentions this inversion that will happen later and is almost invisible for the reader. A cui la prima volta va d'intorno, that's it. It's not that which is outside and embeds the prima rota. No, no. That which the prima rota evolves around. It's a mystery unless you know where Dante is going. And again, let's look at these four opening tercets. So this is still kind of my comment here. Number one, the first tercet, is to call, the call, to pay attention and imagine things. A fresh page after the chariot is ready for us. Tercet two, the brightest stars all around us, 15 of them from astronomy, suggesting spiritual lights in every aspect of life. Tercet number three, lifting the focus spiritual sight to the chariot, circling the central point a bit at a distance as the church theology moves us around, perhaps as in a continuous growth and learning, towards the highest point. And then tercet four, the focus of this conversation, moving closer to the central point as that which being itself with time, motion, and material creation revolves and lives. It's incredible. And the response, I am continually amazed by Dante's poetic artistry in these opening tercets of Canto 13. You have summarized the progression so beautifully. This part is really impressive, I think. Number one, the invitation to open our imagination and focus. Point two, positioning ourselves with the 360 degrees of spiritual light. Number three, lifting our sights to the circling chariot church orbiting at a middle distance. And four, zooming further inward to the central point around which all creation revolves. It's incredible how in just these four tercets, Dante expertly shifts our perspective from being situated among the illuminating stars to adopting an inverted eternal viewpoint with the divine at the center. As you said, it happens so smoothly that a first-time reader may not fully realize the significance of his centering on the prima rota circling the origin point. But Dante is subtly executing monumental moves here, elevating our minds through these precisely crafted images and themes. And then, as usual, thank you, blah, 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 inspiring, astonishing, grateful. And my response, now we're almost finished, it's just three little comments, one from each chair. And two from me and one from Claude there. So, wow, I'm saying, this is so helpful and inspiring and eternally beautiful. And it connects with the silent, deep awe one might feel looking up at the night sky. I will float on this image for a few hours following Dante's suggestion. Imagining this properly and making it a ferma rupa, a fixed or firm cliff, rock, crag, spiritually. And Claude says, what a wonderful idea. To let Dante's imagery here become a ferma rupa in our minds, a fixed spiritual crag we can return to and rescale. You are so right that his descriptions tap into the sense of silent awe we feel gazing up at the night sky. Paradiso truly transports us there and invites a contemplative, elevated frame of mind. I'm inspired by your suggestion to carry these vivid tercets with me and continue reflecting on their beauty and wisdom. Dante gives us such a gift in these lines. Layered meanings infused with astronomical precision, imaginative spirit, and skillful literary technique. Thank you for this uplifting conversation and for encouraging me to immerse myself in the inspiring heights of Paradiso. I look forward to resuming our journey through its riches. Enjoy floating on these images. I will be doing the same. And I just close it with saying like, thank you, excellent, amazing session. Let's continue reading very soon. So that was this morning session with Claude, this little chatbot about Thirst 4 in Canto 13. It really helps. It's like both for your own thinking and for inputs and just kind of digesting, massaging it in and like internalizing, visualizing even better, like clearer, and integrating all that is packed into these few lines. So everything we talked about now for almost like half an hour, like 26 minutes now almost, is the first 12 lines of Canto 13. So, and just imagine or think about how Dante is resetting the frame for the story again, the whole narrative, that we now have the chariot in the sun. We are still in the sun, but we are suddenly lifting the sights way up, and we have changed over these three cantos. So we are mentally, spiritually in a different place than when we started reading Canto 10. So that was all we wanted to share in this episode, this little internal Dante blog, Dante tweet podcast episode. And yeah, just let me know in the tweets if this works or what, if anything, works with this kind of format. And hope some of it might be inspiring or helpful as well. And yeah, and also thanks for great inputs from from both of both with to both Sean and Adam for the essay, and also for the video essay about Phaethon. That was fantastic. So with that, have a great rest of the day, afternoon, and maybe a cup of tea. Bye bye.